It was a total shipwreck. I mean,
it was kind of amazing. Like, the first iteration of that ship that was just made out of a porta potty and some sticks, like, that didn't look like it would catch any shrimp at all. But, like, apparently, that was like his level one shrimping boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kept getting shrimp XP. Although, I guess the first time you get like 10,000 shrimp, since everything is worth at least one experience point.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hot Dog, episode number 69.
Woo!
You guys, I'm facing a difficult choice. I have a vacation coming up next weekend, and I don't know whether to go and visit the Comstock Load or Loadstock.com, the web load festival. Which would you go to if you were me?
Like, is it all just about, like, watching progress bars fill up?
Yes.
You could buy some Comload stocks.
Okay. What's Comload? What does that company do?
Bukake.
Pass.
Yes, and?
Yes.
God, Riff, you're awful at this. No,
they make Bukake films.
Comload?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. What does the com stand for?
It's just misspelled.
Oh, it's actually cornload.
Cornload.com.
Hey, good. What are you guys been up to?
Riff's been humming a lot.
God, Riff is...
I've been listening to Motherfucking Pie over and over
and
over.
I've had it stuck in my head for a long period of time.
It was fine. Did you listen to it multiple times, or did it immediately get stuck?
No, it immediately got stuck in my head.
Yeah, that does not happen to me.
It got stuck in my head, and then out of self-defense, I ripped the soundtrack from the YouTube video.
Out of civil defense?
Yeah, so I could play it in iTunes.
The civil defense radio frequency.
And then I made a ringtone out of it.
Everybody watch Sifl and Ollie.
So I replaced my previous terrible ringtone with one that may not be a lot better.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's better. It's a better song. What, it's your ringtone song before was some MSI stuff?
No,
that was a long time
10 years ago that your ringtone was MSI.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was previous. No, it was a hunk of techno from a MS Paint video.
Okay. So in the news, Sifl and Ollie... back with fake video game reviews. Although I thought the intro, the like we're back video was better than the first actual episode.
Oh, did they actually come out with the first episode?
They did an episode.
What was the fake video game that they reviewed?
It was like a parody of the Kinect.
Okay. That's a whole system.
Yeah. It x-rays Ollie and determines that he has scorpions in his skull.
Huh. That explains a lot.
Pretty good. But there was no song. Unless there was a song and I forgot it because it wasn't as good as Motherfucking
Pie. Yeah, not really.
Anyway, you guys been doing anything other than watching Sifl and Ollie videos?
I learned about egg corns.
Egg corns.
Which did you also find out about snow clones? Was this a seminar on words I fucking hate?
I didn't. So I think the first time I ever heard All Told was verbally, and then I've seen it both ALL space TOLE. TOLLED and TOLD.
AWLTOLED.
Yeah. And so I wasn't sure which one was right. And turns out it's the told TOLD.
Right.
That is the correct version of it. But it turns out this is a thing in the class of malapropisms that has been called egg corns.
See, why could they not just be described as malapropisms?
Oh, I don't
which
know.
Is a word that is a real goddamn word.
Yeah, but
I mean, if it's a specific subset of malapropisms, then it...
Somebody got excited about it.
Could justifiably have its own term.
For the first time because he saw somebody make the mistake egg corn as opposed to acorn.
I remember reading an article in either Highlights magazine or... 321 Contact magazine, or maybe one of my grandma's Reader's Digests, entitled "What's a Numpire?" And it was an article about words that had become what they were because they were mishearings of an X versus a nex. Yeah. And there are a bunch of words
I used to think
that
it was...
we think are correct that are actually derived from mishearings of an.
I used to think you fell into a coma, ACOMA.
Oh, so it was like torpor.
Maybe.
A coma was like a city that you would go to when you couldn't move.
Sure, sure.
Okay. It's right next to Eattle.
Yeah, the two that, like, I guess most people probably know that I didn't know was jibe is correct and jive isn't. Like, Like, I get the...
That does not jibe with my experiences.
It's jibe and not jive, and so that was just something I just didn't know. And then you don't pawn things off on people, you palm things off on people. This might not work as a audio thing.
You do not P-A-W-N them, you P-W-N them.
You pawn them
but
off on
P-A-L-M, like, I have never heard that, and I've heard pawn off, or at least my brain has heard pawn off.
Yeah, like every time you walk into a room, people say, pawn off, Kevin.
Yeah. But then the one that nobody knew, which is kind of interesting, is that it's not you're the spitting image of your father. You are the spit and image of
your
father.
That one's probably informed a lot by that comedy political TV show with the puppets spitting image.
Maybe. I have never heard.
I don't think
so,
because I've never heard of that.
Spit and image.
Yeah, spit and image seems weird. Although, you know, spitting image, if you thought about it, didn't really make
sense. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's that. And like a lot of them are like that, where if you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now that I actually
think
understand
about it, it makes more sense.
See,
yeah.
I think pawn off, though, like, oh, I pawning is a thing that you.
Like going to
give,
a pawn
like
shop.
Like you misrepresent the value of something to get more advantage than you intended. So pawning it off on somebody is like, oh, I made somebody feel like this was more important to them than it was to me. And so I was able to retrofit some meaning onto
that. Yeah, people are often like the all told one as opposed to like all told, like the story is all told, which is what people think that means, which isn't actually what it means.
They thought of it in the sense of like death toll, where
right.
a toll is a count
which
of
is
things.
Not a thing that toll actually means ever.
Isn't it?
It isn't.
So when you pay a toll,
it's not accounting.
When you bikini a toll.
but the reason that like bank tellers are called tellers is because telling means to count. And told is the past tense of tell. It's like hardcore. Mm. Yeah.
Let's form a magician duo called Quill and Counter.
Yeah. So I've been preoccupied with. Now, see, the problem is, having read like hundreds of these now in a list that's on eggcorn.com, it doesn't that, but whatever. Now, like, I'm just reading.
Eggcorn.
Every time I read any sentence now, I'm like, oh, wait, was that, did they really mean that? Or is that some weird malapropism? And I just, like, it really messes with your brain for a while.
That's pretty good. I listened to a particularly good episode of the Overthinking It podcast today, which is episode 218.
I haven't listened to that in a long time.
It was last week's episode. It was only a couple of the guys. It was just Matt Rather and Peter Fenzel, who are the two guys that are on there most often, but there are usually four guys on it. And in this one, they just sort of got off on these tangents about grammar and dictionaries and notions of like the importance of the stewardship of language being a sort of different thing than not being an asshole to people on the internet and correcting their grammar. And I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting. Listeners who care about language and care about listening to dudes from Harvard College, Yale talking about language, check it out. Overthinking It, episode number 218.
I always kind of find myself torn between being a prescriptivist or a descriptivist. Because, I mean, I respect the fact that language is an evolving and changing living thing.
Right.
But I simply cannot get behind certain specific things like people,
if you
like,
know it's a misuse.
Yeah, like people using literally to mean the opposite.
But that happens. I mean, that is a thing that happens
so
a lot.
So goddamn stupid.
Yeah, but like taking a word and just using it for the exact opposite of its meaning ends up becoming a thing like flammable and inflammable.
See, and in some cases, I mean, like, I argue like I got into not exactly an argument with Chris Remo about this, but it was like I was having a conversation with me from 5 years ago before I had gotten more chill mushy about this kind of thing. And I think my conclusion about flammable and inflammable is not that people are stupid, but that those words are unsuitable for their purpose. And so the evolution of language is causing those words to die so that they can be replaced with something less ambiguous. And what we are seeing is the death...
Explosivo!
The death throes of that. And that when, in something like nonplussed,
yeah,
that kind of sounds...
That's the one.
That kind of sounds like you're not being bothered by something, when in fact the word means the opposite. It does not sound like a thing that means the opposite of what it is.
Right.
And as
which
such,
is a weird onomatopoeic definition thing. That's strange.
I have
right?
a similar problem with natty, which sounds like...
Sounds like you're sounds bedraggled
like, Yeah, it sounds like ratty, which yeah. is the opposite of what yeah. it means. I always have to think twice when I see that.
We were at the Outback Steakhouse, where we like to have a steak every once and again, and the guy behind the bar has like a word a day calendar that he actually every morning like reads it, tries to use it in a sentence a few times, like tries to work it into like he's... It's awesome. It's weird. This Outback has a bunch of people.
A strange like culture of like high-minded individuals.
It's like people who are like, and this is a thing that I encountered in growing up in a rural area. Like there are dudes that you run into there, and you're like, man, you're too smart for your station,
for your britches.
Yeah.
Like, but just that, you know, there are people who like there is, I think you'll occasionally run into like somebody who is smart enough, but not ambitious enough yeah. to not just be the smartest guy working at this bar.
Anytime I go someplace and get like excellent service at like a restaurant or whatever, I'm like, this person is too good for this job, right? Like,
and see, this sucks. I think this is like intellectual elitism and us saying like, oh, well, I mean, waiting tables is for dipshits.
No, I think it's the fact that we have become accustomed to terrible service. Mm. And so when somebody does a really outstanding job, you're like, huh, what's the story here? Like, why is this person who's clearly overqualified for this job? Because we've seen the people that are qualified yeah. for this job. Right? Like, I think that's where it, for at least my experience, that's where it comes from, right?
Yeah. His word of the day, 2 days ago or whenever this was hoary, H-O-A-R-Y. And he asked me if I knew that word, and I said, does it mean
it's
cold?
Like white-haired.
But no, it just means old.
Oh.
And really? Okay. I had associated it with cold because of the word hoarfrost. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is like clear air.
Really old frost.
Frost from condensation. Yeah, that's really old. There is probably some relationship between them, right? Hmm. Because this frost is like the white hair on an old dude.
Hmm, yeah.
Makes the trees look like distinguished old men.
Sure.
Especially when hoarfrost first forms on a temple. Ice forms first on church. That's what those signs say sometimes.
Oh, okay, so hoary, ancient is the first definition, but showing characteristics of age, especially having gray or white hair. That's how I knew it, is like white-haired.
Well, okay.
So...
But yeah, it is rough because I think as a person,
canescent, covered with fine whitish hairs or down, canescent,
like C A I N,
canescent, yeah, like cane scent, but it's canescent.
No, that's like somebody who smells like an old man's palm sweat.
Yeah, the canescent moon is an example.
How do you know what the moon smells like? How could you tell if the moon smells like an old man's palm sweat?
I mean. In but space, no one that, can hear you smell.
The notion that like language evolves doesn't make it easy to stomach watching it happen when you recognize that it's happening because of people failing to pay attention to things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sucks, but you have to recognize that all of the things that you learned the correct way the first time were probably a result of some stupid people hundreds of years before you were born fucking a bunch of stuff up. And so
think how unpopular Shakespeare must have been when he was just making up words left and right. And people were like, God, this guy has got to stop with this bullshit.
I know. It's like, what? Slow down, Frank Herbert. But you look at a list of the words that Shakespeare just made up. It is fucking crazy.
Yep.
The word lonely. There are some words that are very, very simple, like fundamental prepositions that Shakespeare just made up.
Really?
I can never think of the specific example, but I want to say it as something equivalent to like against.
Hmm.
Like there are words that are like, wait, how was there not a word for this? Like, how is it like, you know, the older you get, the less time 300 years seems like. And it's like, wow, how was there not a word for that until 300 years ago?
Right.
But yeah, this, I don't know. It was the discussion on the Overthinking It podcast was pretty interesting because Peter Fenzel's take was like, basically, he gets mad when shitty misinterpretations of things make it into the dictionary to the exclusion of the original meanings, because it's not like we don't want to keep a record of what the language actually means. And there's the prescriptivist versus descriptivist argument, like whether a dictionary is supposed to be like a document that explains how language is used, or if it is supposed to be an instruction manual for how to use language. And I mean, I think it needs to be somewhere
both in between,
right? Because you lose, and his thesis is that if nobody is being an asshole about it, at least in the sort of back rooms where the dictionaries are written, you lose a lot of the richness that the language has acquired as a result of its history, right? If you just replace dictionary definitions with what they have come to mean in popular parlance, then you eventually lose the fact that that happened in the first place, and that stewardship of the language is important, not so that you can be an asshole about people saying words wrong, but so that future assholes can understand why people were wrong in the past and understand how things got where they are.
In the future, I would like some Patrick stewardship, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would totally listen to an audiobook of Patrick Stewart reading the dictionary.
Yeah.
We need one of those. I've said this before, but we need Christopher Lee to read the entire dictionary before he dies,
yep,
so that Christopher Lee can voice everything from now on in like a super weird Dr. Spatzo cadence.
He could switch off. They could do it in quarters and have Christopher Lee can do a quarter, and Patrick Stewart and Neil Gaiman and Stephen Fry.
Is Neil? I don't know that I've ever heard Neil Gaiman's voice.
He's got a great voice. He does his own audiobooks. It's really nice.
Could we do a thing where somebody just made every sound in the, you know, International Phonetic Alphabet or whatever, and then piece it together?
Just string them together? That'd sound weird. It'd sound like, it would sound like Twin Peaks, I bet.
I wonder, like, because we can, you know, having watched that Lee Unkrich video about, like, piecing together the audio
for
Toy Story 3,
mm, yeah,
like, you can clearly take multiple takes of somebody reading a line and string like 20 of them together to get the perfect reading of the line as you see it. So could you not take somebody doing a bunch of all the potential sounds that a mouth can make? And
so they made that thing for Roger Ebert, because when Roger Ebert lost his ability to speak, somebody was like, wait a minute, there are recordings of Roger Ebert saying fucking everything for like 40 years. Like, right, let's make a box so that he can kind of talk in his own voice. And it is weird, but it also, you know, somebody probably didn't spend $1 billion on that, right? This wasn't like a national laboratory grant project,
right,
that somebody was like, oh, let's figure out how to take, you know, I wonder how much audio you would need. I wonder. There is probably some magic sentence that contains everything that your voice is capable of doing. Like
a quick brown fox.
Yeah. Yeah. Prick brown rocks. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
See, I can't even.
Prick brown rocks. Which, I mean, given that you only ever say those three words, that's the sentence for you.
Mm.
Good. All right. Well, Riff, if something happens to you, your legacy will continue on. So, Riff, what have you been playing? Prick brown rocks.
Prick brown rocks. It's a pretty good game.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's like you're not supposed to prick the blue rocks. So have you guys been playing any video games?
I played, the only game I played this week other than The Usual Suspects was this kind of weird thing called Exo.
I wish that you would stop getting me excited
about The Usual Suspects.
There is a video game of The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, maybe someday.
What is that?
Kaiser Sose?
Yeah, who played
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. All right, Kevin Spacey gets a special ability at level 10 that lets him spray really thick piss on enemies.
Huh.
It's gross. It's like spit.
Okay.
What else?
You're just getting excited about the game?
Yeah. What do you do? Can you play Chaz Palminteri as a playable character?
But he only
or is that a race?
His whole
I'm a level 12 Chaz Palminteri.
His whole game takes place inside a single office is the only problem.
Yeah.
It's like on the scale of
Well, the flashbacks could be instances.
Oh, okay. Where, and so the more instances you complete, the more various photographs appear on the wall postcards and coffee mugs. And
which just makes the whole thing that much more confusing because there's more material for the story to be drawn on.
But that's great, though. You want complexity to emerge over time, right?
Well, eventually it's just going to become self-aware, I feel like.
Oh, man. What if you built... This is what we should do. We should make a video game that is all a flashback in the style of The Usual Suspects, and we pull product data from the real world. So like the reality portion of the game takes place in somebody's office. And so we check Amazon, who's making the coffee cups that would be most likely to be purchased by a police department now. And so then that's how it chooses the name of the contact. That's how it picks the boss for when you have to go kill Pete Postlethwaite at the end of the dungeon. So wait, I forget where Pete Postlethwaite was.
Why is Mr. Corning doing anything? I don't understand.
Exactly. So it changes over time.
If you could trawl the player's like Amazon history, you could personalize all the game content to them.
That'd be true.
You could. And then it would be super embarrassing for the guy whose wife walked in and sees him fighting a bunch of dildos and stuff. Just like, what game is this? Nothing. It's like Majestic, except instead of sending you a fax, it just mails you a dildo as part of the conspiracy. Anyway,
game I was playing.
Yes.
It's called EXO.
Hold on, Riff. I have another idea.
Okay. Yes, EXO. EXO. It's for Windows and Mac. It's sort of like a psychedelic Dear Esther.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say a psychedelic Deer Hunter.
Oh.
And I wasn't thinking of the movie The Deer Hunter. I was thinking of like Big Buck Hunter.
Oh,
like,
that would be awesome. Have you seen there's one of those games coming out for the PS3 that comes with like a gun controller that has,
trigger a sight.
It has a detector. It has like a thing.
Accelerometer?
It has a thing in the grip that reads your pulse.
Okay.
And so the more frantic and excited you get while playing the game, the visuals get blurrier and choppier and weirder.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, because that seems like it would freak you out even more.
Right?
Like, if they had one of those attached to, like, pulse. Amnesia. So
it's just a suicide game.
Yeah, it's just like a suicide feedback loop.
Yes, the last electronic bullet is for yourself.
Am I making this up? Did we go to the Arizona Science Museum and play a game that was, like, you sit on opposite sides of a table and you try to get a ball to move from one side to the other based on your biofeedback?
I think, Kevin, that you are confusing me with your girlfriend.
No, I know that I did it with my girlfriend, but I thought I might have also done it with you.
I remember seeing something like that at either a Comic-Con or that one time I went to PAX. It was like a thing where it had like a sort of wire maze.
I think that's a different thing. That's like a game that you could buy at JCPenney.
This was a display in a museum. Huh. And it was... It was like a biofeedback thing where if you were very calm, you basically could just push, like the processor inside would just push this physical ball to the other player's side.
That's
or whatever.
A weird thing because like if you start to lose,
you're going to freak out more and more. And so I was playing with my girlfriend and like we were on one side of the table and she thought that it was just rigged. So we swapped sides and it was just immediate. Like,
yeah,
she
because
was,
you're just
her
so,
brain is
you're
so,
just so unflappable.
Well,
I tried to nonplus you and I couldn't.
But did you and I ever do something?
We
like
never.
That?
We
I don't
never
know
did.
Why I thought
one time that we had a staring contest. Although I might be confusing you with a shrimp.
We had that arm wrestling contest that one time that just left us both in pain.
Yeah, it was just a fucking stalemate. That was super weird.
Really,
everyone else could just beat us instantly, but you and I are just equally
weak. Yeah,
yeah. And so we arm wrestled for
a
really, really long time, and then nobody won. I don't think
you
anybody
beat me.
Won. Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I think that was only because I had a higher threshold for pain.
You might have. It was that. Yeah. It was painful and exhausting.
Yeah, and then it hurt for days.
Yep.
It was like, wow. Turns out. Maximal sustained effort results in a whole bunch of hardship.
Yep. Mm.
EVO, EXO,
EXO,
ESO.
It's
psychedelic deer hunter.
Yeah, it doesn't really have anything in the way of story that I was able to identify. Okay. Although some stuff.
Oh,
happens
wait, was that
at
last
the
bullet
that
is
was
for you? Was that a deer hunter reference?
No, not exactly. Just a freaking out sort of love.
Because I haven't seen The Deer Hunter,
no,
but I'm,
I haven't
I'm pretty
either.
Sure that it. I'm pretty sure that Christopher Walken kills himself in it or something.
Well, he
it's
does.
Got
that.
A
he plays,
Russian
he plays
roulette
a bunch of
roulette, scene
Russian
in
roulette
it. Yeah,
games,
like with himself, solitaire Russian roulette.
No, it's for money in Southeast Asia.
Okay, good.
So this game, EXO. It's okay. Imagine.
You know what else Christopher Walken was good in?
That video.
Weapon of choice. Bad Boy Slim. Yeah. All right, Riff. I'm sorry.
Okay, so imagine.
I'm zipping it up and throwing away the key.
Imagine.
I am not going to say another word.
I'm leaving.
Riff.
Imagine if Dear Esther was a series of
tubes.
Modern Trapper Keeper covers.
Okay, like, Lisa Frank?
Yeah, or just like the random psychedelic computer art.
Like fractals.
Yeah, but like a modern version of that, which somebody had then...
3D fractals.
Yes, which somebody had then done in good high-resolution textures and put it in Unity 3D so you could walk around in them.
Okay.
And it is basically that. You walk around in this really lush, interesting-looking landscape or starry space void or underwater scene.
A skeleton on a skateboard.
No.
Well, then, this is not the kind of Trapper Keeper that I care about.
Okay. I can respect that. But yeah,
you're just exploring environments.
It's not even really exploring, unfortunately, because you get like 20 seconds in a scene before it fades to white and takes you to the next one.
What the fuck?
Really? Yeah,
is this actually like a thing that you bought at a head shop?
Or is this a screensaver that you think you've been playing?
Well, if it was a screensaver, it was also playing drum and bass at the time, so. And there's kind of like maybe a little bit of story because some stuff happens at the end that is actually pretty exciting.
Are there ever any words?
No.
Okay.
It's just you walking through these really beautiful looking landscapes one after the other.
Not really being able to freak out on them.
Yeah,
man.
Before you get taken into the next one. And
Where'd you find this game?
A half an hour to get through it. I forget where I found it linked from.
Do they seem like they're procedurally generated, or do they seem like they were...
No, I think it's probably a set scene.
Did you actually play scans of Trapper Keepers.
Did you play through it a second time to see if it was the same?
I did not.
Huh, I'd be curious to know.
I have this folder on my shelf that has some computer graphics on the outside, like the floor is like a grid, and there's a big pyramid, and there's some spheres floating in midair with reflections of the other objects in them. And then on the interior of the folder, there are a bunch of definitions of computer graphics and animations terms.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
cool.
That's like, what got me into game
like
making.
Voxel,
sure.
Or ray trace.
Yeah, ray trace is in there. Tweening is in there. Yeah, so I learned about that.
Splines.
Yeah, long before Sweet Valley High taught me what a tween really was.
Sprite or no?
I don't remember.
Huh.
You know, I could go get it during the break. We could all share in my fourth grade education. I think I also have that sweet... I really did have a Trapper Keeper that was purple, and it had a skeleton holding a boombox riding a skateboard in space.
Huh.
I miss Trapper Keepers. They don't make them anymore, do they?
They probably
do.
Something.
They're probably bullshit now, though. They probably have like an iPad in them.
I've been playing an iOS game called One Epic Night. It's by the Simutronics people.
You were playing the shit out of that at Dragon Con.
It was really good because it was like a thing that I could play for 3 minutes at a time when I was waiting for a talk to start or people to arrive to play a board game or something.
Or it to be your turn at a game that we were playing with you, waiting for you to finish playing your goddamn phone game. Put your phone away, butthole.
Don't think I did that.
No, I know.
Okay.
I think I'm confusing you with your girlfriend.
She was sort of crazily addicted to...
Yeah, she's playing a ton of Puzzlecraft
at
the time, yeah.
I think she's gotten over it.
I finally started over with Puzzlecraft, and then
what?
Now I know. And then I was like, God damn it! What did I do that for? Well, because I wanted to play it like you. I wanted to be like you. Okay, I learned by watching you. I wanted to play it without introducing the dick shit stuff.
Yep.
It
gets kind of boring if you stick at the low level for too long. But
yeah.
But I still just avoided some of the stuff that it spawns in the later game, and it was.
I want an update to Wargames Whopper that adds 1,000 new levels.
Yeah, I could see that.
Campaigns. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
One Epic Night is a game by the people that make Tiny Heroes.
Yeah, and the guy who founded that company is the guy that also made Geo Defense and Geo Defense Swarm, which are.
Did you see that he made a game with another company? It's not a tower defense game, but it's called Geo something, Geo Sparks maybe.
Oh yeah, it was not very good.
You tried it?
Yes.
Okay.
I did not like it.
All right.
It is like all actiony and you know, like a Twitch.
Well, so One Epic Night is very much a Twitch game. So it's like it takes that dungeon that you build from the like dungeon builder perspective that Tiny Heroes is, to now you're a knight and you're like trying to run through it.
I think they call these games endless runners. I think that, I think the proto one of these is Temple Run.
Okay.
Or Cannibalt.
Cannibalt was, I don't think Cannibalt was the first one.
Cannibalt is like just a one button
2D
jumping thing. This is different than that.
Okay.
This is like a 3D moving forward and there are various channels that you can be in. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got three different lanes that you can be in the corridor. And then you collect swords and shields to be able to
lowest lane.
defeat monsters and some of the things, but there are things like
Elaine Bryant.
You can fall into pits, or you can have to like jump up to, on top of ledges and stuff like that. And
did I ever tell you guys about the time that I went to the mall and there was a Victoria's Secret that was right next to Elaine Bryant, and the advertisement on the window of the Victoria's Secret right next to the Elaine Bryant said huge underwear sale.
Hmm.
Anyway, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Some people will have just cracked up, and that joke was for them.
Right. Yeah, but you guys mostly have heard, you guys have heard this before.
So I think it's pretty fun. You played it, and you said it was bullshit.
My problem with it was manifold over time. The first 20 times I played.
You died immediately.
No, I died as soon as there was a thing that you were supposed to jump over because I just couldn't see it coming. I think that was largely because I was playing it outside in the sun.
Okay.
Because when I played it under better lighting conditions, it wasn't as big of a deal. Since then, every time my game ends, it is because I run into a wall because it does not accept the input for turning.
You might need a better phone. I think you should buy a new phone.
Oh, I think I'm going to.
Okay.
I think they might have announced a new phone today that I'm totally going to order one of.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like things that are tall and white.
Okay.
Every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, yeah. Way to be, Zach.
Besides that, the only game I've been playing is The Hunger Games. And by that, I mean reading the books.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's like not the
best. You said the books. Are you finished with the first one already?
Yeah, I've started the second one.
No, I have not.
The first one went through really fast.
Yeah. I read the first one because my girlfriend wanted to see the movie, and I insisted on reading the book before I saw the movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was the right choice?
I don't. You can never tell, right? You look back, and you, like, I don't know if my reading of Dune was harmed or helped by my having seen the movie first, and so having it in my head that, like, oh, Paul Atreides, who is actually 15 years old throughout the book, I think of as like probably a 29-year-old Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Kyle MacLachlan did a great job, and David Lynch did a great job of making that look like it did. But I really wish that I had read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest before I saw the movie.
I would have never read it.
That's that I would never have read it if it hadn't been for the movie being good. You know, and then The Postman by David Brin. I saw the movie. I was like,
"Oh, Postino."
Found out that was based on a book, and I'm like, you know, maybe the book is actually good. And it turns out it really was.
Kevin Costner future.
Although in the same way that I am an unabashed Phil Collins fan, I like Kevin Costner epics.
I do too. Like, you know, I'm willing to forgive him a lot because I kind of like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and I mean he's terrible in it. But
oh yeah, no, he's awful, and I think everything he does is awful. But those movies, in spite of
Field of Dreams, was not bad.
That I don't consider that to be the same thing. That was not like a big budget epic. That was just like a And that more than anything convinces me that there is just really a pretty significant difference between men and women, because I have never met a woman who didn't make fun of me for liking that movie.
Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. I don't think I've ever talked about it with a woman.
No. Maybe you should communicate better.
I probably should.
Maybe what you should do is take relationship advice from me.
Have you ever talked about Dances with Wolves with a lady?
I have not actually seen Dances with Wolves.
It's Waterworld.
I know. I haven't talked with any ladies about Waterworld, I don't think.
I think everyone probably agrees that is not an awesome movie.
Waterworld was like prime, for me, prime watching things and then just spending all of my idle moments thinking about making a video game in that setting.
Yeah, that I could totally see that.
Yeah.
And it very much lent itself to that kind of thing in a way that a lot of things would not have.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the video games where I'm on a jet ski. I think there might have been a Crash Bandicoot and Beyond Good and Evil.
Beyond Good and Evil is kind of like it has like a big jet ski with a pig in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty
good. I could imagine that being the gameplay.
But to me, it was more like, building the settlement, right? Like,
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was very much like that for me. I wanted to go home and design a D&D campaign that was that setting or whatever.
Yeah. I get the same thing from the anime One Piece, thinking about RPG conversions of that world, and because it's the powers and abilities that the characters have in that are very systemic. And so you can see practically where the characters have spent their skill points. It's really kind of interesting.
You know, the Road Warrior was sort of like that too. Like the idea of these mechanisms for defending a town against a wide array of enemies of varying levels of strength and presentation.
Post-apocalyptic though. Everything I think that's a really common thing that's awesome to think about how you
It's an easy setting to throw a very simplified good and evil conflict into.
And it's something that's it can be foreign, but yet familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the notion of just everything being made out of other stuff is very video game.
Scavenging.
Yeah.
Loot.
Yep.
Yeah.
The game that I made that no one ever saw except a handful of friends that helped me test it, that was the sort of predecessor to KOL, was a post-apocalyptic empire management game that sort of synthesized all of the hours that I spent thinking about that shit after watching Waterworld and The Road Warrior as a kid. I should break that out. I should see if I can get that running on our servers. Yeah, so that you can look at it and just immediately tell me why it's lame, why it's broken and unbalanced. Helicopters are way too good. That was one thing that was true.
Okay.
We should do a post-apocalyptic movie night or something, to Waterworld and Road Warrior and
Beyond Thunderdome.
On the Road.
The Road.
The Road?
Yeah, On the Road.
On the Road, yeah, I get that mixed up so bad.
Post-beat generation.
Yeah.
As much as I love The Road, I probably would not watch it again anytime soon.
You don't think?
It's just so sad.
Yeah, it didn't hit me as hard as the book did.
No, that's true. The movie was pretty toned down in that regard.
I still have not watched.
Still pretty good, though. Did you read the book?
Mm-mmm. Yeah, you should read the book.
It'll take you 4 hours to read. It's very short.
I'm backlogged on books. I have a large box of books on,
that's what she
on
said.
The side of my bed that is the stack of things to read.
So I'm reading all the Hunger Games books as ebooks.
Horsey books.
Yep.
Making no sense at all.
They're very short. And I like them better, I think, than physical books at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
It's quite a conversion. I've been reading Reamdy as a physical book. Yeah.
How is that?
That's pretty good so far.
Yeah.
I was telling you, I can really relate to the main character because he's the guy that spent a number of years smuggling marijuana across the Canadian border.
Did you read Anathem?
I did not.
Didn't you?
I really enjoyed that.
You own it.
I do, and I took it on a trip once, and your girlfriend started reading it, and then it ended up in your room somehow.
No, that's my copy.
That's what you keep saying.
Okay.
It's weird that as soon as your girlfriend took my copy away, your copy appeared on your desk and mine vanished. This is a scandal. See, this is why there's never going to be a crossover video games, hot dog video games, taco. I won't be able to conceal my rage at Melissa for stealing all my books.
We should
and making the batteries hard to get to.
We should set a date and a time for trying to record
a date and a time and a purchase of additional microphones.
Yes.
Now we can just have our girlfriends sit on our laps.
Oh yeah, we could share microphones because that wouldn't be wrong.
Sure. I guess not. We could have our girlfriends sit on each other's laps. That would be super weird and wrong.
Huh.
But the sound quality would probably work out better. Do you think that, I don't know, whose voices are the most similar? That people said that they could hear our mannerisms in our girlfriends.
Yeah.
I think that's partly because my girlfriend's speech patterns are extremely infectious.
That's true.
And so I totes pick them up towns.
Yeah, even I have started saying totes.
I know. That's how language happens, man.
Yeah,
we're back. We're back to that original subject.
Totes true.
One crazy person comes in and just ruins everything.
You know, and going back slightly to Syphil and Ollie, I resisted
syphilis. Sorry.
I resisted for a long time using the word dude because I associated it with dumbasses. I guess the people that used it most in my school were people that I didn't like.
They were cowboys who were angry at you in your city by ways.
But after watching Syphil and Ollie, it just creeped in my vocabulary and I've never gotten rid of it since.
I say dude a lot.
I remember reading somewhere that Darth Vader was described as the Dark Lord of the Sith, but I got it wrong, and I was talking to my dad about it, and I think I said Dark Lord of the Sith, which resulted in him referring to Darth Vader as the Dark Lord of the Clab from then on, which was pretty good. Anyway, Darth Vader.
Yep.
I also played some of that One Epic Night, which I just talked about. I got to play in Field Runners 2 again in the last few days. Yeah,
Jenny was playing that a lot at Dragon Con.
Yeah, you know it's good. It's still good. I talked about it before.
I should probably download it.
Yeah, you should. I think I also played. I played a bunch of not a bunch. I played say 4 or 6 or 7 seconds at a time of Super Hexagon. Man, that game is aggravating.
I played a similar quantity of the new Echo Bazaar.
Oh,
what's it called? I've forgotten the name of it.
Fallen London is
Echo Bazaar. Echo Bazaar.
Is there a new online one?
Yeah, you know, the one that was kickstarted.
Oh, I did not realize that. I didn't know that was a real thing yet.
Yeah,
I didn't get an email or anything. Jeez, what's her name? I don't know.
I feel bad for not being able to say
we got
name
we got an email from those dudes.
Basically the same sort of thing. Oh, did we?
Yeah.
What about what we were saying? Or
They were like, "Hey, we heard you talking shit about us on your podcast." No, I think they didn't hear us talking shit about them on their podcast, and they were like, "Hey, let's be friends." And I was like, "Okay,
never listen to my podcast.
All we do is make video games. We don't make any podcasts. We can totally be friends if you guys want."
Yeah, the new one is. The writing is awesome. I love it. I wish I could play it for more than 3 minutes at a time with the option to pay $2
for
another
3 minutes.
Jesus Christ,
maybe give them $2, you tightwad.
But would $2 just let you play 3 more minutes?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I'm saying. You know what? I pay $2 for 3 minutes of a movie. I exclusively visit porn theaters.
I was just about to say.
But still, the point stands. I was under the impression when I backed that Kickstarter that it was a single-player offline game that you could just play and then be done with, and it was like a choose-your-own-adventure story, kind of.
But that was not the case.
No. I guess that was not the case.
This does not have the Twitter integration that Fallen London had that I thought was pretty awful.
I mean, that makes sense because this is a thing that is already paid for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a thing that is designed to have a sustainable business model. You know what's weird? Like, Josh talking about how Echo Bazaar's model didn't bother him. It didn't strike him as being as awful as it struck us as being.
He's way more sort of comfortable with social media and just like using it sort of casually, whereas I feel
he
like
is
we
a big Facebook guy.
We are
more. And I also feel like he is less annoyed with finding an interesting game that he's only allowed to play for 2 minutes.
Okay.
Right. I mean, there was enough going on there that we thought, we need to explore these systems.
To optimize,
But, you know, that's probably not how a normal person operates. Anyway, they asked if we wanted to see their back end.
Bonobos.
Yeah. What?
In the Poconos?
I don't know. Just bonobos. Like, whenever they resolve conflicts by rubbing up against each other and touching each other's...
By touching butts.
Butts.
All right, so we're going to resolve our totally one-sided conflict that the other side is not aware of against Fail Better Games by rubbing our butts together the next time we go to San Francisco. Huh. I think they're in San Francisco. The Kickstarter was in Mountain View, at least. Anyway.
Yep.
I've been playing a bunch of Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
And really enjoying it a lot. And I've been reading a bunch of commentary about Guild Wars 2, and I don't know if I've been enjoying the commentary so much.
Are people pissed about it because it didn't live up to their unholy expectations?
You know, no. Everybody, like... There are some people saying, like, oh, I don't know if this is Jesus or not, but I'm sure I'm having fun. You know, nobody, like, I haven't seen anybody say anything bad about it, but there's been a lot of talk about the brokenness of the economy in it, and like,
but it's only been out for a couple weeks.
Sure, but crafting in particular, and it's
that was what I suspected. Hearing people talk about the ore nodes and stuff being instanced per player, that sounded to me like a bad idea for the economy.
Well, it depends on what you consider a bad idea, right? So, like, once I discovered, once they brought the auction house thing online, it is run like a commodities market where
you don't get to pick buy something from an individual buyer.
You, yeah, actually, even
so, like the Diablo 3 buying gems,
So you'll go and you can go to a trading post NPC and instantly sell all of your copper ore for whatever the lowest going rate of copper ore is. So discovering that meant that I suddenly had 100 times as much money as I had had before.
Huh.
So it's interesting in that regard, in that if you just say, look, I'm not interested in crafting shit, so I'm just going to, while I'm running around the world, I'm going to gather all of these things.
Could there
then
be...
Then you can just sell them to somebody. And
so
then,
is the game generating all that cash to give to you?
No. It's buy orders. It starts to fall apart if there aren't any buy orders, but there are always hundreds of thousands of buy orders.
Okay, because I was going to say, if the game was generating it, I feel like, oh, well, then let's manipulate the fuck out of this economy by getting everybody.
No, it's all coming from players, because there are people who on alts are people who on their main characters are trying to level crafting, but the people who would primarily approach crafting as an economic game recognize that it's dumb in this case, that you can't do that, because the stuff that you make, and this is sort of like the problem that comes out of this, is you go around in the world, you gather all these things, it is only limited by your time, right? There is no scarcity, mm-hmm. because the supply of these things is multiplied by the number of people who want them, which is a weird thing, and it is unsurprising that results in an abject absence of scarcity.
Okay, but resource nodes in World of Warcraft were not instanced, and I still felt it was the exact same way. Like, I don't, except for instancing adding a little bit more abundance, I don't know that it's all that different, right? Because
it feels, from a play perspective, like more than a little bit more.
I wonder if it's, but I mean, I wonder if that's a psychological thing. Or, but like, so like,
so
one other way to do it is if there's only one ore node,
here's a question.
And it's for there for everybody, that's... No.
This is not actually a question.
All right.
There are ore nodes for mining stuff. There are trees for gathering wood. There are plants for gathering food. And everyone can harvest every node. Right? You don't specialize.
Okay.
All gathering is everyone who wants to.
Wow.
There are trivially inexpensive consumable tools that are used to do this gathering, which... It has always bothered me, the idea of, I'm going to go up and find a node of exposed iron ore and hit it with this thing a few times and get some iron ore that I can take back to town and smelt, because that is not how goddamn geology works. And in this case, I'm going to buy 100 individual mining picks and use each one of them
once to
get a single chunk of copper ore out of just a big exposed. And I get that in the real world, you can just find copper ore. Bauxite is aluminum, right? Like, bauxite is where you get aluminum. What is it that you get? Do you get is malachite what copper?
I don't think so.
Malachite
is,
it's like a gemstone, iron? But there is something that you can find. I don't remember what this video was, but there was a video of a guy proving that you could make something out of metal with nothing other than things that you found in the woods.
Malachite is one of many copper ores. Cuprite was what I was going to say.
Okay, so
cuprite is the most pure form of.
But you can walk. You can walk out into the world. You can see a rock, identify it as malachite, melt it with a normal fire, and get some copper out of it. And I saw a video of a guy doing this. So that is, I guess, a thing that you can do in the real world. But you don't... Yeah, that has always driven me nuts. Picking an herb, whatever. Like, you can go out and you can find herbs. And I don't even care that you're making a fucking magic potion out of the herb. It makes sense that you can pull a plant out of the ground. Anyway.
But what about having all the resource nodes just in mines? Like, that happens in a lot of games. Like, you know, there are a very small number of exposed ore nodes in Skyrim and way, way more in mines.
A lot of the ore in the newer iterations of World of Warcraft are like clusters of crystals and stuff, and that
well, sure, but that was because they ran out of metal, right? Like they
plus have, they look delicious. They look like Jolly Ranchers. Like
giant, okay. I had this dream once when I was a kid that we went on a class field trip to this mine where dwarves carved raw bubblegum ore from the dream. This happened because I had seen a bin at a convenience store that was. You could buy these just big, they just look like rocks of bubble gum, just like big, like fist-sized chunks of gum that you could buy. And I thought, wow, that is just like elemental bubble gum. Like, that is what it looks like when it comes out of the ground. And so I just had a dream about being on a school field trip to go down to where the dwarves mine the bubble gum. And they gave me some of it, and I was like, oh man, this tastes like really raw. Like, it's not, it's good, but it's not like what I want out of bubble gum, right? It's like, I understand why they do the processing that it takes to turn this into like chalky
cotton
baseball
candy.
It does look like, so World of Warcraft ran out of anything rooted in reality.
Yeah.
Adamantium.
And whatever. It's fine. You know, the longer you go mining stuff, the cooler it should get.
Yeah.
And
Soon it's going to be like nuclear explosions.
Why wasn't it something kind of cool instead of copper? Right? This is another thing that bothers me. Look at all these fucking buildings. You're telling me that there is no one whose job it is to sell fucking copper? Like, you can't just go to a store and buy some copper from a guy. There are all of these mines everywhere. The only copper in the world comes from this orc hitting a fucking exposed vein of copper with a pick that he bought.
You go to the market where people are selling their ores.
Yes, but that is copper from orcs. That is not copper from the NPCs that have the massive mining operations. So here's a question. Who the fuck funded those mines?
Right.
Like, all right, we got these deep ass mines. We got the Jasper Lode mine.
Yep.
And it got taken over by kobolds, but by the way, totally unprofitable even before that happened. We never got a single fucking ounce of copper out of this. Well, maybe, copper is just laying around.
Maybe we just don't see the parts of world economy that the NPCs are involved
in.
Maybe we don't get to participate in the farmer's market where they buy their apples.
That's the thing. You can buy apples from them. You can buy water from them. So here, in Guild Wars 2, you can just go to a vendor, buy as much salt as you want. But if you want some pepper, you got to fucking go out and find it. And of course, everything requires a mix of salt and pepper. So the crafting, the food crafting in Guild Wars 2 is awesome.
Yeah.
Because there is no alchemy. Like, potions seem to be entirely the domain of engineers.
Cooking.
And they are and it's just skills. It's not like you never get a potion.
Okay.
That I'm aware of that is just like a, you know, heal some hit points or heal some there's no mana, but cooking is like the consumable crafting.
What do wizards use to power their spells if there's no mana?
They build up something. I think. No, they don't. They just have cooldowns. All the skills have cooldowns.
Okay.
It's really streamlined. And honestly, really pretty good. It's still MMOE, which is another thing I want to talk about.
MMOE.
Yeah. Yeah. cooking is cool.
Tell me more about the cooking. I am interested in crafting systems.
Well, so it has a discovery element where you can get new recipes unlocked by just combining ingredients, and you have four slots that you can drag them into, and you'll drag one thing in there and then everything else in your inventory will turn red because the recipe that you would have discovered is beyond your skill as a cook. And this is because I only played about a half an hour of gathering stuff and cooking it on this dude. Nobody is really you can't make any money or really even much of anything that you can use by crafting equipment. And I think that that's a pretty common problem in MMOs, right?
I think the problem is that the value is in leveling up your own crafting.
And that is even, and it is exaggerated pretty significantly in Guild Wars 2 by you also getting a bunch of experience points for crafting.
Yep.
So, you know, it's when they make crafting its own reward, it doesn't matter if the end result of the crafting has any value, because it's not going to have any value anyway. Like, you already got your money's worth out of it, so you are going to sell it for nothing. But the interesting thing about that is you can go out, spend 5 minutes trolling the map for wood and copper ore, go back and buy the best gear available for your level in every slot with the proceeds of...
If you're not interested in leveling up your own crafting, you can buy the results of other people's crafting.
Yeah, or if you're doing a kind of crafting that doesn't... Like, I decided that what I was going to do on this new guy that I made, that I'm a lot happier with. I'm a lot happier with my hitting dudes with a sword dude than my shooting dudes with a gun dude.
Okay.
Which is normally unlike me, but...
I don't know. I feel like you like to hit things with swords.
I think maybe...
You're like a barbarian.
I think maybe the Old Republic got me more excited about a
you
lightsaber.
You like a Jedi?
Yeah. Although my main in the Old Republic was a smuggler. I was like a shoot dudes with a gun thing.
Okay.
It's like a hide behind this thing that I made because cover's buggy. A covered buggy. Yeah.
Covered wagons.
I got a mount. It's a covered buggy. Yeah, so I sold a bunch of copper, bought a bunch of onions. I don't know.
Okay. You're making this game sound awesome.
I made some sweet poultry soup.
Out of your onions?
Yes, actually. I think you need an onion to make a poultry stock. So you got to buy some water. You got to buy water. There's fucking rivers everywhere, but you got to go buy water from the cooking trainer.
Oh, yeah, but there's probably all germs in that water.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't trust that woman.
The bears pee in it.
There's all just like the whole world is a toilet in this place.
Huh.
There are no toilets. If you go to the fucking Viking home city, no toilets anywhere. So it just follows that people are just pooping and peeing wherever
they stand.
And I'm supposed to buy skins of water. And even a skin of clean water, it's in a fucking skin. You think that didn't used to have poop or pee in it? It did. You think they got antibacterial soap? No, they don't. I guess they have wizards, which is sort of like, I mean, like if you have a healing spell, what do you need antibacterial soap for? Like, true. Oh, just let him, come on. Bacteria, what? See ya.
Cure disease, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was going to say, cure disease, I feel like, is more applicable because that you just have to continuously cast the healing spell over and over again as the bacteria ate more and more of your body away.
Yeah. Most diseases in the real world work like that, though, right? Where they just slowly drain your blood. I might be confusing diseases with
vampirism.
With, puncture wounds. But... Yeah, so Guild Wars 2. It's fun.
Okay, you haven't actually talked about anything besides crafting. Is there like
that's all I was thinking about.
You didn't actually play, you just gathered materials and crafted.
No, I did. I played a bunch. I killed a lot of dudes and I ran around doing events and I fed some fish to some bears yesterday.
Okay.
And that was pretty good.
Did you train the bears? Did they become pets or something?
No, they just like I was trying to please the bear god.
Okay.
I answered some riddles.
Didn't
some
you buy multiple at the same choice time, piss riddles off the to, fish god?
No, there is no fish god.
Huh.
Man, Vikings, man, did they seem like the kind of people that are going to pay a lot of attention to what a fish says?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they should be. Like, you know what I can do? I can just swim to North America.
Yep.
I bet you'd like to be able to do that. And you're like, fuck you, I'm listening to the wood god. I'm going to just build a longboat. But they should have just listened to the fish.
Yep.
Like, you know. Yeah, there's raven, wolf, bear.
Oh, the gods.
And Puma. Raven, wolf, bear, and Susu Sudi.
Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff.
Yeah, Griffin Buff.
Gryffindor and Slytherin, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what the... fuck. Man, I'm the worst Norn.
So the races are like plant dudes.
There's plant dude.
Cat
dude. Viking dude. Yeah, big cat monster dude and little weird... Rat dude.
Rats.
They're not really rats. They're the name of their city is Rat Sum.
Ratsum?
Ratasum.
Huh.
It's a huge, confusing cube on its corner.
Okay.
Like
the Epcot Center?
Man, I had...
But pixelated.
I almost stopped playing Guild Wars 2 entirely as a result of this little exchange that I had with a couple of upstanding members of the community. I asked in chat. So, because I pre-ordered some slightly more expensive than the normal version, or maybe it was just a pre-order bonus. I don't know. I had a thing that I got in the mail when I first created my character that was a personal banker golem that you summon it, and for five, it only lasts like 5 days or whatever. This is probably just a thing they sell in the cash shop, right? The first time you summon it, it lasts for 5 days, and it is just access to your bank from wherever. You can just, you summon him, and then you talk to him, and he gives you access to your bank. And that guy expired, and I had never in, I don't know, 10 hours of play with this character seen any other way to get to the bank other than while you're at a crafting station. And so I asked in chat, I said, so hey, my golem that I started with expired, and I don't think I've ever seen a bank NPC. How does the bank work in this game? And somebody said, go to a banker. First, somebody said, dot, dot, dot. Like, fart. I can't believe, yeah, somebody farted at me for being so stupid. I ended up just getting sort of made fun of by two people who just abjectly refused to answer the question because they were trying to prove a point about how dumb I was for not knowing the answer in the first place.
That's ridiculous.
And then arguing with them about, like, look, you know, so the conversation was like, I'm like, are there bankers anywhere? Yes, they're on the map. I'm like, okay, could you tell me where I could find one? Look on the bank, look on the map for a banker icon. I said, I have never seen a banker. I do not know what that icon looks like.
Right.
And they told me it's a bag. I said, is there a banker in the zone that I am in? Here's a simpler question. Is there a banker in Metrica Province? And one of them replied, look at the map and find a bank icon.
Wow.
And I said, are you being sarcastic because there isn't one? Are you just being an asshole instead of saying no and telling me in one fucking word where I might find a goddamn banker NPC? Like, I should have just ignored them. I should have just put them on
ignore and not talk to them.
But they were the only people talking.
Well, the trolls are the most vociferous of the...
I hate the internet. I hate people on the internet. Sorry, bro. I'm just honest. And I said, you know what? You're not being honest. You're being an asshole. I didn't say I wasn't an asshole.
Okay, thanks. The irony that you make your living by engaging people on the internet is pretty sad.
I don't know that that's irony so much as tragedy.
They can be both.
Anyway, apparently there's bankers somewhere. I still haven't found one. I just started a new character with a fresh golem.
Have you?
Well, that's a solution.
Send the golem to your old character.
Oh, you know what I think I did? Maybe find a bank? There are banks in the capital cities.
Okay.
There are like... But you can get to your bank at any crafting station, which is weird, right? But, I mean, I don't know. I guess travel is more or less free once you've figured out that you can sell copper ore for all the money that you need at low levels. Yeah. I don't like it when people are mean to me on the internet, and I get kind of mean to them back. I try to sort of
it's a never ending cycle.
Try to keep the higher ground, you know. I'm like, you know, why are you making fun of me instead of just answering the relatively straightforward question that I asked? Oh, I just want you to use common sense. Okay, how is common sense gonna tell me how a system works in a game that I'm inexperienced with? I mean, like, you know, common sense is that if there's this system that you should be able to access it from, you know, like, I honestly did not know if there were bank NPCs or if the only way to get to the bank was to go to these crafting stations or to use this fucking golem, you know?
Right.
But you can't ask.
It'd be pretty funny, actually, if the only way to get to the bank was through a 5-day limited item and then all your stuff is just trapped there.
Yeah,
and
then once it expires, sorry, we're going to need 400 gems. I was like, you know, I would not mind throwing, I'm having fun with this game, I would not mind throwing a little bit of money at the cash shop. So I looked and I'm like, well, I can unlock a new bag slot. Like, I can unlock a new thing to put a new bag in to increase my inventory capacity. $5.
Huh.
Which, that's
for
a little,
all your characters forever?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. Might only be one character. The stuff that they sell is very temporary and comparatively pretty expensive.
Huh.
which was surprising to me. I mean, I don't know why that surprises me, because it's totally optional, and, you know, the stuff that you can buy in the secret world is just like a hat. It doesn't do anything at all. And, you know, maybe that's $2. But for some reason, a hat that does nothing, I would not think that $5 was too much for, but something that does a little bit, $5 is too much for it. Why is that? What's the matter with me?
I don't know.
I don't either. Kevin, what's new?
Free love.
That's not new. That's decades old.
That was from several years before we were born, buddy.
I think it's new. The MMO Love by Eskil Steenberg has gone free to play.
It has not gotten any less confusing in the years since I played it the first time. I opened it up yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did. I jumped, and I think maybe I shot some things that were maybe other players.
Okay.
That probably made them mad.
You have a gun, I guess, when you start off.
Sure.
Or something.
Is this the one that's really like impressionist art looking?
Yeah, kinda, yeah.
Okay. Very difficult to.
It's got a lot of verbs.
If this game had had a different presentation, it could have been Minecraft instead of Minecraft.
Hmm. Maybe.
It has a lot of the same things going on in it, but they are just bewildering instead of only kind of confusing like in Minecraft. Like, the presentation of Minecraft is extremely simple and easy to understand.
It's very straightforward.
And in this, it's like crazy town.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe...
I watched a 10-minute video about how to climb up a cliff.
But there were a whole bunch of different ways you could climb
there
up a cliff.
There were like 30 different things to do.
You could build a ladder.
No, ladder was not one of them.
Wow.
you could like go up like a cable car system that apparently is just scattered around the world. You could, if you had...
I don't know that that's a way to climb a cliff. I mean, this is how to climb this cliff.
Well, it was just, I mean, some of these ways were pretty... You could wait until it rained and the ocean levels rose up, and then you could go up the cliff. I mean, like, that was one of the solutions, and I was like,
Does that work everywhere?
Well, it seems like a 30 ways to prove a point rather than 30 ways to scale a cliff.
You could put a thing down, I think it was called a thumper, that would let you summon
a sandworm.
Deform the terrain. It like liquefies the ground such that you can just sort of like reform
it. Swim up a cliff?
Well, no, you just can cut away some of the rock so you can make a staircase or whatever.
You could rotate the camera 90 degrees and walk up the side of the cliff with Robin behind you.
Oh, that'd be good.
There's apparently all these things called pods that do different things. You can put some on the ground.
Make a single cup of coffee.
Yeah. There was one that was like creates a bouncy force field and so you can jump higher. And then you can also install pods in yourself. There was a pod that like creates a wind, but when you install it in yourself, it lets you fly.
So like it's like a spell. So you could say that you're pod casting.
Maybe. Yeah, it was.
Can you use any
crazy.
Of the pods to fish? Could you use the pods to select the actors for a film?
You might be able to do that. It seemed like there were a lot of them, and I don't think he even touched on a portion of, or like a tiny fraction of what you could do in the game. Anyway, that was...
It might be one of those things that rewards actually figuring out what the fuck is going on, but I paid for it.
Probably a steep learning curve.
I actually subscribed to that MMO. Like, it was a pretty interesting model. You bought days of playtime.
Okay.
And it only ticked down while you were playing, as I understand it. So okay. I think I bought 30 days of play.
30 24-hour
Yeah, I believe so. Unless I'm wrong and I was just like, turns out I bought a month and just wasted a bunch of money, but I'm pretty sure that it was actually like a fixed number of days of playtime.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, I remember seeing articles about this when it was in development thinking like, wow, that seems pretty high concept.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this a long time ago.
How avant-garde.
Hmm. So apparently it's still around and being developed.
Must not have made much money.
I don't know. I mean, if this is all that he's been working on, then that's a thing, potentially. Steam launched their Big Picture project. Have you seen this at all?
Yeah, the plan
on
your computer up to a TV.
Yeah. And so I don't know how great that is. Like, I kind of like some of the stuff they did, which is the controller keyboard like a, just sort of a much better looking interface for like a keyboard than I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Have you seen? Did you see what it was? It's like you use like the left analog stick to select a like sort of a compass
a cluster
rows.
Of four letters. Yeah, that seemed.
I feel like that's a way better interface than I've seen.
Maybe. Remember, Rift, did you ever use any of the stuff on the PS3 or the PS2 where it did text entry via fucking a phone keypad?
Yeah, it fucking sucked.
Yeah. I'm sure that would have been great if we had been a teenage Japanese girl.
Tap.
I mean, it'd be pretty great if we were teenage Japanese girls. Just because we'd be younger. We'd speak Japanese.
I'm a little confused about this thing because, I mean... aren't most modern TVs capable to just be used as computer monitors anyway?
Well,
I mean, I think this is more a presentation of the information that's designed to be read from across the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also Steam, which is up to this point has been a PC interface, controllable via what they're hoping for game controllers, right? Like they've redesigned it.
They made a front end that you can control with a controller.
Yeah, they made a web browser that is designed to be controlled by a web.
Made a plug that you can literally plug into a plug.
Yeah, it's like the new iPhone cord. It's
It's tiny.
It's tiny, and you can stick it in either way. You can't put it in wrong.
Oh, God.
I know, right? Why is that like a feature? Why was that not just something that somebody did 1,000 years ago?
That hasn't even been a thing with fucking power
wall outlets.
Cord.
I know.
Like, God damn it.
Yep. Yep. Does not have a direction. You just put it in either way.
Sweet.
I know. I thought you would be pleased.
Yeah. Because USB cords, man. Every time you try to put in a USB cord, it doesn't work. And then you flip it over and it doesn't work. And you flip it over again and it works.
Huh.
Every single time.
That's
I think
at one point you were doing it wrong.
That's probably true. I mean, I'm always drunk.
Okay. So you're putting it in the wrong hole probably the first time.
Sure. The Spocker. Two in the pink, two in the stink. Live long and prosper, baby.
Yeah. What else? So apparently the American Dental Association, in cooperation with PopCap and somebody else, wants you to hand out coupons for a free week of Plants vs. Zombies at Halloween.
What is a week of Plants vs. Zombies?
I think it's a game that you download and it deactivates itself after 7 or 10 days or something like that.
The American Dental Association.
Yeah. Okay. The ADA has sponsored this thing. And I think it's sort of a cute idea, but it's a weird promo. Right? It's like, here, kids, play this awesome game instead of eating all that candy that'll ruin your teeth. But it's not really a free game. It's only going to last for a couple days. I think it's not actually like a 7-day trial or whatever. It's just like this is valid until November 10th, and then it just stops working. You have to download the real thing or whatever.
And it is framed as somehow this is a thing that you'll do instead of candy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, that is how it is framed.
I could just cut out some magazine advertisements.
You could
hand those out instead of candy.
Yep.
Sure.
I bet that would make me popular.
Yep. Just turn off your porch light. That's one way to combat youth obesity.
Yep. That's that's my usual plan for Halloween.
You could get dressed in like
the obesity of hope.
In like a really creepy like werewolf costume and then just chase kids around the neighborhood on Halloween.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you could hand out old AOL CDs.
Oh, yeah.
You could
figure out how to use this. That'll burn some calories.
You could be Leatherface, but with a real chainsaw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A real chainsaw with the chain taken off is still pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it smells terrifying. I spent a couple of Halloweens when I first bought my house that was actually in a neighborhood where there are people
kids
who trust the neighbors to go trick-or-treating. I spent a couple of Halloweens dressed as a wizard sitting out on the porch with... potion bottles filled with ice and skulls and giving away candy. And
how'd that go?
You know, I don't know that it was worth doing. There were some kids that didn't give a shit. There were some parents that probably just thought I was a creep. I saw a guy with some sweet Han Solo costume, right? And I was like, oh, where'd you get those boots? And he was like, they're not boots. Stupid. And I was like, oh, well, sorry.
He's like, look on your map. Look for the boot icon.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't seen the boot icon, so I don't know what it looks like.
What were they?
They were some sort of weird leather tubes. Yeah, that went on top of his shoes.
Oh, weird.
They were normal shoes. They were like dress shoes and then boot toppers.
Oh, so yeah. Like really long spats, huh?
It's like Dickies, but for
I don't know what a spats is.
For your
you know, like boots. Those white things that go on over the fancy guy's shoes.
Nope.
I thought spats were the entire shoe.
No.
Really?
No.
Huh.
Okay. So I saw where World of Warcraft, people flipped out because they discovered that World of Warcraft was encoding a bunch of identifying information in screenshots. Oh,
yeah. Well, what does that mean?
That were taken?
I can never remember what World of Warcraft's dedicated screenshot button is. I just use the...
No, I thought you were going to say I can never remember what World of Warcraft is.
I'm pretty familiar with what that is.
I don't believe you.
No, I just use the regular.
So it stores like your account
Mac
name
config.
And... some other stuff.
Man, I think your IP address, I heard.
Maybe, yeah. It does not show anything that isn't pretty much already publicly accessible. Like, it doesn't show your login name. It just shows your account name now that those are distinct.
It, like, somehow is watermarking this onto the
image? Yeah, it's like a steganographic watermark. Yeah. And somehow somebody found it and then was able to decode it. There are just, like, some... There are some like weird. They look like artifacts in it, but they are actually a barcode that encodes information. I don't remember if this actually happened or not, but I think that our buddy who worked for BioWare told us that they had a way, if somebody posted screenshots,
I remember this conversation,
during the open beta, to figure out who it was, even if they.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they did. And I mean, that could have just been metadata stored after the JPEG headers or whatever, right? Like, there's plenty of ways that you can store data in an image without.
What I don't exactly understand is, like, while you're playing the game and you hit the screenshot button, is the game providing the screenshot or is that the operating system that's providing the screenshot?
Oh, it's the game.
But couldn't you also do
an alt print screen?
Yeah,
probably.
Like, that's what I do. And that.
You're sticking it to the man.
Well, no, just because I can never remember, like I said, what World of Warcraft's dedicated screenshot button is. Yeah,
not,
but
not
I'm
on
a Mac. I don't have that.
Why do Macs have such bullshit keyboards?
We have a variety of options.
Who needs
option
a dedicated
keys?
Button for printing the screen?
Computer users?
Uh-huh.
Duh. You don't even have like a home and end and insert. And man, I don't even know
there was
how you guys can get anything done.
At Xerox... where they were inventing the GUI originally.
GUI.
They basically invented the mouse more or less, and you couldn't drag an icon around. You had to click on an icon, hit the move button on the keyboard, and then move the thing where you wanted it, and then click it again, and then drop or whatever was it was like a convoluted series of actions. It was interesting to see that very first instantiation of
you. And all of our listeners should do a YouTube search for Sketchpad, which is an oscilloscope driven light pen CAD program
from
the early 60s.
Yeah,
that is pretty impressive if you think about it being in the early 60s. That's what I think. I think it's pretty impressive. This was five years
when there was
free love. Yeah. So I saw a story about how the lead designer of The Secret World no longer works for Funcom.
Really?
Yeah. And they keep pushing back their... I guess their update was supposed to come out today, the 12th. For those of you listening, sometime after the 12th.
And it is not coming out?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. They pushed it back from the end of the month till the 11th, and then they pushed it back another day.
It seems like everything's getting pushed back like a week or two at a time, right? Like Torchlight 2 was supposed to come out at the end of August. I thought
Torchlight 2 was supposed to come out at the end of last summer.
Well, maybe.
I know what you did last summer. It wasn't. It was
not
released. It was
Torchlight
not
2.
Released Torchlight 2. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Sweet news, bros. Hey, you know, speaking of bullshit that's not really a word, Data Vortex, I just got a notification in my Words with Friends, no, my Word Feud game against Data Vortex, that he played for 76 points, Queasy, Q-U-E-A-Z-Y, not a word.
Not in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Have you seen Gems with Friends?
Gems with Friends?
G-E-M-S.
Is that a game where you just list the people you know named Jim?
No. It's like I assume
Jim Baker.
I assume it's some sort of like multiplayer Bejeweled. I've not checked it out, but it's another Zynga. It's another Zynga game.
Okay.
Oh.
Hey, you know, Zynga's just partnered with Richard Garriott to make some horrible bullshit that no one cares about.
Portalarium and Zynga. God damn it,
Richard.
Oh, not wait, Card Ace. The Card Ace game got renamed to Big Fish Casino. Yeah.
Lame.
Yep.
Well, at least our buddy got a ton of money.
Sure. I hope.
Yep. Maybe he can buy a new soul.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's right. I said it.
Snap.
Big fish.
You know.
Cap.
When we run out of money, I'm sure we'll be a lot less.
No, we can call in all the favors that our buddies, who we've spent years just tearing apart
on
our podcast for being sellouts. Hey, can I borrow some of your sweet Zynga money, Richard? No, I'm in space.
Okay.
No one can hear you scream, Richard.
Yeah, no one can hear you ask for money in space. Anyway, this assignment, The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Did you beat it, Riff?
No.
Damn it.
2 weeks.
Riff. Damn it.
2 weeks.
I couldn't beat level 6.
Oh, come on.
You had save states.
Ugh, it sucked.
So were you playing on your? Were you playing on the 3DS or playing it on
3DS.
The? Yes, don't play on the 3DS.
Yeah. I beat it because I care.
Well, you're a better man
I
than
I care
me.
About our listeners, and I want them to know that level 6 is total bullshit.
It does. Right. The difficulty ramps up pretty significantly, although I thought it started at 7. I don't remember me getting that bad at 6.
The blue whiz robes are such sons of bitches.
Pains in the ass.
Compared to every other enemy. Like,
yeah.
And just the so many enemies packed into one little room.
It gets
those
worse.
Bubbles, fucking bubbles, man.
Fucking bubbles and bubbles. Like-likes.
Are the bubbles the ones
and...
that knock your sword off?
Yeah, they don't damage you. They just make your sword
does
stop.
Does that count as a hit?
That is a good question. I don't know. I wasn't reloading when that happened.
I was. And
you
so
were.
I would
okay.
just reload anytime they'd fucking touch me. It was annoying.
I did not end up getting the red ring. I just
really?
Got a walkthrough and powered through. I did not figure out how to get through level 9. I just powered through it.
Huh.
From the walkthrough, got the arrows, got to the boss, had fucking 2 hearts left, so I had to beat Ganon without getting hit more than twice.
I played through it until I got it. I hit him without getting hit at all.
Oh, yeah. I kept, like, every time I made some progress, I would, like, I guess maybe I went in with 3 hearts, but my first save state was after I had done 1 damage to him.
It's a lot easier when you can see the future.
That is true. That is true. Everything is.
Yep.
Yeah. Just ask Alia from Dune.
Yep.
What was the name of the girl that played her? She grew up to be real hot, and she was the girl in, she's the redheaded girl in... 4 Rooms, Alicia Witt.
Huh.
Yeah. That was Alia in David Lynch's Dune. Just to bring it back to that.
Okay.
Also, Kaiser Soze in The Untouchables 2. I think I meant The Expendables, which was my joke about The Usual Suspects. But
right.
Anyway, I don't think they made an Untouchables 2.
Yeah, I think Elliot Ness was done, right? At the end of Untouchables 1.
Yeah, so they just followed up with the story of Elliot Gould.
Right.
He went to he went to Korea, made some martinis.
Yeah, Zelda.
Yeah, it was still pretty good.
It was fun up until that bit.
I enjoyed it. I think playing after you started playing without getting hit, I was like, "Oh, god damn it." And so I started playing that way too, and...
Why? You didn't feel the need to play Castlevania that way after I did it.
Yeah, well...
I guess you were already done by the time you found out about it.
I was. And so I was not done, because we did this 2-week assignment thing, and so I started doing that, and I think it takes away from the game, actually, because I just never used anything other than my sword to do damage.
Did all the time.
Yeah, I just never did.
I was constantly using the magic wand later in the game to, like...
The wizards are immune, so...
But I mean, there's stuff that's not.
But your sword, I guess that is not true. I did use arrows to kill those bouncing
the
rabbits.
Paul's voice.
Yeah.
Frederick Pohl's voice.
Because they took
voice.
A couple hits to hit to kill even with the highest end sword, and a single arrow would kill them all.
Yeah.
So there were, I guess, sometimes that I would use arrows, but...
Also having your Japanese neighbor scream.
Right. But
another reason
almost,
I wish Riff would turn into a Japanese little girl.
I think the other weapons that you get access to would be way more useful without always having the constant shooting.
I use the
sword.
Boomerang all the time because it will stun dudes, sure. And then you can stun them from across the room and then line up your shot with the sword, and it just lets you finish rooms faster.
Yeah, I probably should have done that. I didn't do it. I was so busy dodging shit.
I mean, a lot of what playing with save states takes away from the game is not stuff that I would be real excited about as an adult anyway, which is like, are there any bomb exits from this room? Bomb, bomb, bomb. Nope.
Right.
All right, I'm going to just get those three bombs back. Thanks.
Yep.
Instead of having to like leave the dungeon and run around trying to find blue Octoroks to kill.
Save before you leave the room. No, I know. Is my advice.
I kept hitting the save state as I was walking through the door to a room, and then I ended up having to like redo all of level 9 because I went through a fucking one-way door.
Yeah.
They suddenly put one-way doors in. What is that bullshit?
They do that. I thought they had done that at least once.
Really, had
earlier.
They done it earlier and trained me? I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. Like,
the later dungeons get really complicated.
Yeah.
Like, seven, nothing
eight, nine,
is quite as labyrinthine.
7, 8, and 9 are as big as 1 through 6 combined. 7, 8, and 9 combined are the same, are as big as 1 through 6 combined.
So they're twice as big, you might say, as the previous dungeons. Or you're saying each of 7, 8, and 9 are as big as 1, 2,
no.
3, 4, 5, and 6 combined?
Well, because 9 is bigger. 9 is three times as large as any other dungeon by itself, probably.
Yeah. And kind of bullshit, too.
It's hard.
Just a lot of secret passages.
A lot of secret passages. I don't think you can get through that without finding a bunch of bombs to go through doors, to go through holes.
Yeah, there's
walls.
A couple in level 9. I took the shortest path through level 9. Like, I just went, well, no. I took the shortest path until I fucked up and had to go through a bunch of extra rooms to get back to somewhere I'd been. After 7, I stopped bothering getting the map and compass.
Oh, wow.
I just randomly found my way to the boss of level 8 after having gotten the items from in there. And then,
were you playing with a map or something?
No, I wasn't. Although I did not, I went back to the walkthrough and I went back into level 8 and got the key because I wasn't sure if you had to have the magic key.
No, they keep
but
dropping
you
keys.
Don't, yeah. Which is nice.
And you can always buy more keys if you want.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that I had forgotten.
Yeah,
about,
that surprised me, is having, like, at one point I noticed I had a key not in a dungeon.
I had 10 keys. I never bought a key and I had 10 keys. Because you can
yeah,
buy
I never bought
a lot
any,
of locked
I never
doors.
Bought any and I ended up yeah, with 4 extra going into the last few dungeons.
Yeah.
There's also some weird bug, I think, where if there's a locked door in the first room of a dungeon, you can just leave the dungeon and come back in and it will be unlocked.
Oh, yeah?
Huh.
Which I think I might have done by accident once.
Huh.
I wonder why that is.
I mean, it might just be a code issue.
There is a lot of game.
There is a lot of game.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really good. Yep. Like,
it's surprising how much is going on there. It was interesting how I think we made the point that it seemed really rough, all the dying and stuff like that, but somebody was like, you know, this game seemed so much more fair to me than any other game because it had an actual battery where it recorded your character.
Yeah, and you had life points instead of mm-hmm. just getting hit once and you die, which is pretty big.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And you get a lot of them if you scour.
Yeah. I beat this as a kid on my own without... Although I guess I also beat Metroid as a kid without, yeah. But that I was playing with my dad, so I had like.
Did one of you take map it while the other person played?
No, I think that like we just, he, like when we were one of us was playing it, the other would remember like, oh yeah, go down mm. and then left, and then that's where that thing is, and like, you know, hey, where was that thing? Oh, it's over here.
Right.
Metroid also lets you save, right? If you right. wrote mm-hmm. it and you didn't fuck up your password, but
yeah,
it's a good game. Zelda.
I did not play the second quest because
nah,
it
either.
Is kind of just more of the same. There's like no new systems at all.
It's arranged in a way that ramps the difficulty up
right.
more, I think. It doesn't.
The
it
dungeons
doesn't
are real short and dirty.
Tools quite as early.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
I remember calling the Nintendo hint line.
The very first dungeon drops the boomerang immediately.
Asking where to get the bow. And the guy told me it was in level 1, but I'd forgotten to tell him that I meant in the second quest.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, I wasted all that time on hold, and it was a toll call, so my parents wouldn't let me call again. After I hung up, I was like, fuck! I said, Dad, Mom, fuck! And then they're like, you're grounded and also not allowed to call the Nintendo hintline anymore, dummy. Should have told him it was the second quest, stupid. That's what they told me. In case you're wondering why I turned out the way I did.
So wait, did you just say, where's the bow? He said first thing. You're like, thanks.
I was like, are you sure? Because I got the other thing, and like I told him, like, because there's another treasure in the first level,
right,
in the second quest, and he's like, no, it's there, just keep looking. I'm like, you patronizing fucker. I want to go back in time. I don't even want to go back in time. I want to find that guy now. He's probably only like 45 or something. I'm gonna go find that guy. Like, you dipshit. You should have known.
You should have asked. Yeah. Although asking might be a spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were probably trained to not have any spoilers, because then if they provided spoilers, then you wouldn't have to subscribe to Nintendo Power, right, which was just chock full of spoilers.
Or call them back when you were like, no.
I mean, did they make money off of that, though? They couldn't have.
Toll, it was just toll numbers.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a 900 number. It was just a...
Were they not asking you like what you were wearing and stuff while you were...
No, they were. They did make me jack off.
Right. So I think they were making money.
Okay. Who was paying? Did they have other people listening?
Yeah, they...
Wait, did you...
It was like a party line. Kids, want to help with your Nintendo game? Pervs, want to listen to kids jack
was
off?
Was it a long-distance number?
Yes.
Or was it... Because, if it was just like some random phone number, then they probably weren't making numbers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it was.
But
the game counselors were standing by.
I think it was probably a toll number that they were... The reason you were getting charged was because you were calling them.
Like all toll?
All toll.
Or pawn off.
Yes.
They pawned me off onto a different counselor.
Yes. Did you jibe with them?
I did. I tried to shuck, but they said, none of that.
Right.
We only accept jibe here in Seattle. Redmond. I think Nintendo was in Redmond,
yeah,
which is Seattle.
Yeah, you got to tour their factory.
Yeah, the Nintendo, the factory where they make the video games. Yeah, no, I didn't.
How was that?
It was a bunch of boring cubicles. And they were like, over there is where they're doing the localization for the next Paper Mario game, and I was like, fuck yeah, that's gonna be pretty sweet. I'll buy a GameCube, please. That'll be $20. Okay.
They said...
I think it might have been $30.
Just from their store?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
No, it was pretty...
That's pretty great.
It was pretty good.
That's worth a trip.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
I wish that I had more to say about it, but I just kind of like continued playing through it, and I beat it, and it's still really good.
A bunch of hidden shit. Yeah. Really fucking hard to find.
Lots of it.
And
especially like, before you got the red candle, like,
well, yeah. So that's the thing. Like by the time that you don't really need the hidden shit, it becomes much easier to find.
Yep.
And that was my main complaint. Like you can only carry 8 bombs for the majority of the game. And
well, not the majority. You get
the majority.
You get the first bomb capacity
upgrade. 6 or 7.
No, yes. The second one is in level 7. The first one is like in level 3.
What? I think it's much later. I think it's like 6 and 8 that you get the bomb upgrades.
I didn't even buy the second one.
Really?
On this playthrough? Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck do I need bombs for? I've used like 5 bombs the entire game because of save states.
I bombed a lot.
I always had all the bombs from not getting hit because 10th enemy has the bomb.
Right.
Eyes of the Skull has a secret.
Yeah.
I kind of want to put a sign on the employees only door of our next event that says those who does not have the Triforce cannot come in.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, if you go into level 9 before you has the Triforce,
yeah,
you cannot come in.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I posted in the Video Game Sawtalk forum a link to that localization thread that is long, but mostly worth reading. I wish that it were a little denser and a little shorter, but still pretty good.
Was the article itself localized?
Might have been.
Huh.
Yeah. It was fewer words in Japanese.
What is our next game going to be, Zach?
I think, because we don't have a whole lot of time... I want to suggest that we play a game that is shitty bullshit. The Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
So still on Nintendo, follow-up to Legend of Zelda.
Mostly, I want to just do this as like a kind of a bad compare and contrast so that we can then move on to A Link to the Past, which I would like to do as a 2 or maybe 3 week assignment, however long it takes for us to actually all be able to play through it.
Really enjoyed The Adventure of Link when I played it as a kid.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It was my introduction to disappointment. It was the first thing that I was ever unhappy about. No, it was It was, I remember, and this, honestly, this period of my life was probably 9 months, but because I was a little kid, it was for fucking ever. Every birthday and Christmas, of which there must have been two in this period, I was like, man, I just want this to come out. I just want this game to come out. I want this game to come out.
So you were super excited about it.
I want this game to come out. Okay. Why can't you buy? I want this game. Why? It was not out yet. I'm sorry, son. It's not out yet. Stupid. I can't buy it for you, dummy. Maybe if you hadn't fucked up your one chance to talk to the game counselor.
If you had chosen the heart container instead of the potion, it'd be out by now.
I know, man. God.
Four. There are four of those.
That was my introduction, which is why I felt like less of a big deal. That was my introduction to regret. Zelda 2 was my introduction to disappointment. The fucking heart versus potion.
Wow,
my
introduction. They have taught you a lot about negative emotional states.
I know. Yeah.
Which game taught you about anger?
Boy, I don't remember. Solomon's Key. Solomon's Key taught me that anger was a useful tool because my cousin got angry at having lost a level of Solomon's Key and smacked the controller in frustration in a way that revealed to us the secret continue function to Solomon's Key, which is to hit up and B at the start screen, and it will start you over at the last level that you were at.
Huh.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. First, I was pissed. I was like, God damn you. That is my NES advantage. You're not allowed to smack it. Only I am allowed to smack my things.
And then you guys are like, what the fuck?
Whoa, dude.
Or gee willikers, yeah, because you guys didn't swear yet.
He was like my video game buddy. I remember calling him with a tremendous amount of excitement when I discovered the vine up to the top of level 4-2, which was the second warp zone. Just found that on my own.
When I was going through all of my like childhood stuff, I found a little passel of pictures, like the first roll of film I ever took or whatever, and in that was screenshot of the very end of Legend of Zelda that you could send in to Nintendo Power or the newsletter.
You and Cliff Bleszinski.
Yeah. Cliff Bleszinski.
Yeah, Cliff Bleszinski was in one of the early episodes of Nintendo Power. He was on a list of like people with high scores on a video game of some sort. I don't remember what it was.
Him and Steve Wozniak.
Was Steve Wozniak in there too?
Steve Wozniak multiple times got on there for Tetris to the point where they wouldn't let him be on it anymore. So
yeah, they're like, dude, you're like 30. This is a magazine for babies.
So he like
dummy
put his name backwards for another one. So there's like a Nintendo Power Game Boy Tetris list with Steve Wozniak's name backwards because that was the only way you could trick them to putting him on the list again.
Huh. Good job, Steve.
Yep. Did you go through your Nintendo Power archive to see all these?
Nah, I read about it.
Do you have a Nintendo Power? I have a Nintendo Power archive that I have access to here. We should flip through those.
Riff has a PDF version.
I've got a PDF.
Goddamn intellectual property thief. You Pirate Bay motherfucker.
Where am I going to get a stack of real copies of
bitch, that? Maybe by earning them as a child instead of relying on the fucking BitTorrent welfare state to give you things that you're not actually entitled to. Jesus Christ. If this were the Benjamin Button story, my introduction to anger would have been just now because that's the most recent time something infuriated me, you jerk.
Benjamin Button story?
You're not seeing Benjamin
Button? If I was Merlin and I lived my life backwards, my introduction to anger at any moment would be the most recent thing that made me angry. Like you and your goddamn unearned PDFs.
But wait a minute.
Your blood files.
Wouldn't that have to be something that, from my perspective, had not happened yet?
Well, so Benjamin Button was born old and became young.
Okay.
He did not live backwards the same way that Merlin lives backwards.
Oh, did Merlin live back? That must have been really confusing.
Yeah, it's fucking confusing.
But I mean, I guess if you learned to talk backwards, that would just be
It'd
talking.
Be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. If somebody wanted to talk to us backwards, how would they do it?
Oh, well, they could tweet us at GODTOHVG or GVAT.
Kevin.
Sorry.
Man, all right, Riff, you're off the hook.
Woo! They could email us at com.gmail@vghotdog.
Sweet.
And they could check out our website at com.doghotgamesvideo.
Sweet. Also, we have a
Dog Hot Games video is probably a pretty great website.
We've got a new top-level domain. we were in fierce competition with Amazon for acquiring Dog Hot Games video, but we've got it. Guys, we are going to be swimming in pussy. Also, to register one of these domains, we charge four pussy. No. Four pussy a year.
Oh, yeah.
Thought you were getting off easy, huh, ladies? All right.
That's wow. Funny. Yeah, that is. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Later. Hannibal Lecter did wear a dude's face at one point.
Yeah, but that was not like because it gave him a boner. That was because it got him out of jail.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I mean, maybe getting out of jail gives him a boner. But you just got out of jail. What are you going to do? Get it a boner, apparently. Get it a boner.
Get it a boner.
I'm going to get it a boner. I'm a Hannibal Lecter. I made a Yukis a pizza.